5 minutes after 8 in the morning, and it's Lightning Thursday time here on The Q with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. The Hendersonville Lightning is on the streets and in your mailboxes, and this morning it is on the radio. Good morning, Bill Moss. Happy Lightning Thursday to you, sir.
Good morning. Happy Lightning Thursday. And delighted to be here on this heating on up the unofficial launch of summer weekend.
Summer Memorial Weekend and, of course, Garden Jubilee Weekend for downtown Hendersonville. Big, big weekend planned. So let's talk about what's in this week's Lightning, Bill. Let's start with our headline right here, which is also on HendersonvilleLightning.com. Laurel Park names new manager, and this manager has some ties with Hendersonville or Henderson County already, right?
Does indeed have ties to Hendersonville and Henderson County. And more appropriately, even to the town of Laurel Park itself.
Aha! Uh-huh. Do tell.
Will tell that Christopher Todd was officially hired. The town of Laurel Park and the town council of Laurel Park officially hired Mr. Christopher Todd on Tuesday as the town manager. And he will start on July 15th. He comes from the really small town that you might not even have known was a town. I didn't, though it's nearby, just down the mountain in Caldwell County, of Sawmills. He was town administrator of Sawmills, North Carolina, which, come to find out, has a population about the size of, if not a tad larger, even than Laurel Park, of 5,240. So he comes, he comes from Sawmills, North Carolina, to become town manager of Laurel Park, and previously had been a Henderson County planner. And then when I talked about that close connection, most interestingly of all, I would say, he proposed to his wife up on Jump Off Rock in 2017.
How about that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How about that?
Yeah, so he starts. This was from the board meeting of the town of Laurel Park. We always have lots of Laurel Park news.
Yeah.
In the Hendersonville Lightning, have lots of friends of the Lightning in Laurel Park.
Well, speaking of, let's stay in Laurel Park with your next headline here. And Laurel Park is putting a ban burn in effect.
It is,
yes. This is something new?
It is new, although the recent increase of catastrophic fires all over the country, including in Gatlinburg and Paradise, California, even down in the Batcave, Girton area, when we had that big, what was it called, the Party Fire, the Party Mountain Fire.
Yep.
Down there, there was a community called Cedarbrook. I think it's up close to the top. It's in Upper Laurel Park, I think, maybe midway up. Not exactly sure. I know I've been by it many times. But the community of Cedarbrook actually studied and participated in something called the Firewise. They were a Firewise community, and they brought this up to the Laurel Park Town Council and to the Valley Hill Fire Department, which covers fires in Laurel Park, and they said, reckon we ought to have this burning ban, because we could have, it's possible we could have a big fire. If you had a big fire, it could climb up the mountain, and it really could be catastrophic. So they are banning outdoor burning. Which means no more burn piles. You can still have, of course, grilling. You could have a campfire. You could even have fire for warmth. The town code says now, but not a big fire in your yard that could spread.
Interesting. And, you know, that's something that we don't think of as much with it, as wet as it's been around here in the wet summer and all that we had last year. But we may not have that wet summer again this year. So that's interesting.
Yes, it is. And that becomes effective on July 1st. So people in Laurel Park need to be aware of that. There will be fines. It will be enforced, I think, by the city police, maybe the fire department, the North Carolina Forest Service. So look for that in Laurel Park. And come to find out that the interim town manager, before Mr. Todd becomes town manager of Laurel Park, he said under North Carolina Administrative Code that outdoor burning like that is already banned, is already illegal in communities, in incorporated towns that have yard trash and leaf pickup, and Laurel Park does have that.
Uh-huh.
The city of Hendersonville has that.
Uh-huh.
The village of Flat Rock does not have any public works like that, so I don't think it would apply in the village of Flat Rock, because the village of Flat Rock does not come by your house in the spring and in the fall to pick up leaves or pick up yard debris.
So does that make that just redundant?
Well, I don't think so, because I don't either they were unaware of it or Laurel Park did not bother to enforce that ban under this he described it as administrative code. So I said, well, has it been enforced? And he said, no, it hasn't been enforced. But this will be enforced.
So curious, innocent question. Certainly by no means am I questioning that ban. But how does a town like Laurel Park get that, besides being in the Lightning or whatever, get that information out to its citizens? Because a citizen, if I live in Laurel Park and I don't know this ban has been in place and I have a leaf burn and they come and get me and I say, I had no idea. I've been burning leaves ever since I've lived here. How does that something like that happen?
Yeah, that's a good point. excuse me. One, yes, they did want publicity about it, and we were there to cover it. Another way is that Laurel Park actually has one of those robocall systems, because I don't live in Laurel Park, but I'm on it because I signed up on it just to get information about Laurel Park, and they have a good email system. I get the email alert, so it will go out that way. There's a Laurel Park, just as there is a Village of Flat Rock town newsletter that's, I think, snail mail. And also another point is they didn't want to adopt it and have it go into effect immediately because it goes into effect July 1st. They do have this 5 weeks to get the word out that, okay, by the way, I'm sure they're not saying burn now or forever hold your peace, but they're saying, collect your yard debris, your trimming, whatever, and put it out to the curb because you're no longer going to be able to burn.
Okay.
And they will get it out every way possible. And then after that, they'll notify the violators by seeing they'll see the smoke in the yard and somebody will say, oh, there's open burning going on at my neighbor's house. And then somebody will show up and say, sorry, you can't have open burning that anymore.
Right.
It's a hazard. The Valley Hill Fire Chief, Tim Guerin, was there. He was very much for it. He mentioned that, and you mentioned the wet, we've had a wet spring. We had a wet winter. We've had record rain in 2018. He said, even so, and now that things are greening up, it's really not quite the fire season when things are so dry. But he said they've had a lot of brush fires here recently in all of Valley Hill, and he was very much for it and happy that they had done it.
Okay, interesting. I know this is near and dear to your heart, Bill. You have been heavily involved in Scouts and Boy Scouts. Chuck Edwards was recently honored by the Boy Scouts and talked about the value of the Scouts.
He did. It was a fun thing, and it was really, you don't see a lot from Chuck Edwards. It seems like when you interview him, you don't get a lot of his personal background. You don't get a lot of his story, but he kind of told that in the context of Boy Scouts and his experience with Boy Scouts there in Waynesville, where he grew up. And we had a Tororah District meeting on it was last week. We covered Tororah District. Citizen of the Year, I think he was, and he told about growing up and kind of having a fork in the road, a son of a single mom with two siblings, and said he was at a place in life where I could have gone down one road or the other, and his dad lived in Birmingham. His mom was struggling, and he got in the Boy Scouts and had a real good experience with his scoutmaster, Jim Babb, who was a very good mentor, helped him get on the right path. And so he talked all about that at that meeting where he was honored.
And of course, I'm sure you were there as well in support of not only Chuck Edwards, but in support of your support of the Boy Scouts.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm on that Tororah District Committee, as a matter of fact.
Ah.
And we honored scouting, And Chuck Edwards heard from Don Henderson, the longtime Edneyville Troop 605 Scoutmaster.
Yep.
And Don told about his experience in scouting. He's been in scouts for 50-some years. It was a really good event.
Fantastic. Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and hendersonvillelightning.com. We'll be back in just a moment after these messages.
In business, relationships matter and trust must be earned. Duraline Imaging wants a chance to earn your trust and your business. Duraline is your single point of contact for office equipment sales, supplies, service, and repair. Duraline Imaging provides copier and printer sales and service solutions that lower cost, reduce waste, and simplify operations. Give Duraline a chance to earn your trust and your business. Give them a call today at 692-1301. Duraline Imaging, 692-1301. The 305 Lounge and Eatery, right next door to historic Mike's on Main. Home of Aubrey's Famous Wings and Sauces. Buffalo, Mango Habanero, Teriyaki, Bourbon, Sweet Chili, Wangy Tangy Mild Barbecue, and
Pindo Reaper.
Enjoy wings and the full Mike's on Main menu at the 305. April is Autism Awareness Month, and the 11th annual Blue Bucket campaign raises funds for exceptional children classrooms in our public schools. Help fill the blue buckets for autism at the 305 Lounge and Eatery and Mike's on Main in downtown Hendersonville.
Toby's Mattress Superstore is the most successful mom-and-pop store in the Southeast. That means Toby's buys for less and sells for less. Now introducing Toby's Value Center with special pricing on top names in bedding, like a new Sealy bed-in-a-box 8-inch memory foam mattress with an adjustable motion base for less than a Casper online mattress alone. And with zero down, you pay just under $100 a month. Bad credit, no problem. At Toby's Mattress Superstore's new Value Center.
Kaysen Builder Supply, the official sponsor of patio season, providing quality landscape and masonry materials, exceptional customer service, and superior delivery from locations in East Flat Rock, Brevard, and Greer. Now is the time to prepare for patio season with a visit to Kaysen Builder Supply in East Flat Rock to see displays of outdoor rooms, pavers, retaining walls, and fire pits. Kaysen Builder Supply, providing exceptional service for over 40 years. The official sponsor of patio season. KaysenCompaniesInc.com.
And we are back with Lightning Thursdays with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com, with a reminder that if you don't catch all of today's Hendersonville Lightning, Lightning Thursday, you can catch it as a podcast online at WTZQ.com. Click on On Air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday. You can also catch past episodes of Lightning Thursday. Bill, back into this week's Lightning, back into getting behind the headlines. In Four Seasons Politics, here's a story this morning back about water, city water. County demands city equalize water rates. Boy, the water argument's back up rearing its head again.
It does indeed, and this is going to revive a battle that's been going on really for a long time, and it popped up in a pretty big way, I think, two years ago with a bill in the legislature, which actually threatened to, in the city's view, to take over the city water system and put it under control of the North Carolina Utilities Commission. But that was really at the behest of the Henderson County Commission. Well, in the 2 years since then, they really haven't managed to come to an agreement that the county commissioners favor in terms of equalizing the rates between the city and the county. Just as a reminder, the background on that is that, of course, the city has a water system that serves most of serves the city and most of Henderson County. About 70% of the city water customers are outside the city. They pay about 150% of the rate of what an inside city customer pays. And this has always been a burr under the saddle of the county commissioners. It's been more so since, Commissioner Bill Lapsley, who's really big on water systems and really big, as several other the county commissioners are, on the idea that we really need a regional water authority for providing water and sewer. We need to have some say in that because it has so much to do with where growth goes. And besides that, they really shouldn't be charging our constituents, county residents outside the city, this higher rate. The city says, well, of course we do. They don't pay taxes, which, although the city says it's an enterprise fund that's not underwritten by tax money, they say it's a common thing for city systems to charge county users more outside the city. This was a resolution. The county adopted a resolution that said you should immediately equalize the rates between the city and county. The city, within 2 hours, less than 2 hours of the county adopting the resolution, put out a news release and had pretty strong rebuttal to the county resolution. They said they're open to discussions, but there's reasons that this is this way. There is a joint city and county advisory committee that oversees the city rates and the city water and sewer policy, and they said this is we brought this up and it hasn't been opposed before. So we don't know the next steps on this. What is the end game exactly for Henderson County? They could go to the North Carolina legislature through Chuck McGrady, as they did 2 years ago, and try to get some kind of action again to either force the city to equalize rates or try to take the water system away. So this is one that has many, many more steps to go that will have to bird dog the politics and the policy of as time goes on.
Would this not be an issue if city residents were paying the same as county residents?
In some ways, yes. Yeah, that's a good point. Even if they equalize rates, that would not dispose of the issue of how do you expand the water system? Who gets the water system? I mean, who gets the extensions? How it's used for new residential developments, such as a taproot at the Taproot Dairy project with 1,000 new homes, came to pass for industry reasons and so forth. It would, yes, I think you're exactly right that equalizing rates, the equity issue of inside and outside users, is really just that might be the that might be the thing that the public could understand best. Uh-huh. But the Henderson County Board of Commissioners, for reasons that might make some sense, you know, regionally and countywide, feels like that there should be an authority that they are a part of that makes these decisions. You're exactly right. That would not settle it for all time. That wouldn't settle it for good.
Right. That's just part of the rub.
It really is. Yeah.
Okay.
That really is just part of it. You got your water. You got your sewer. There's not nearly as expansive. The city of Hendersonville does not have nearly as expansive a sewer system as it does water system, but that it is all a part of whether we're going to have a countywide policy on utilities.
Okay.
Like that.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to the Hendersonville Lightning bird dog in that story. Let's stay in politics a little bit, although it's in your life section here in Hendersonville Lightning. County chapter honored as Outstanding Local League.
Yeah, this is a nice thing that came to us. It's what we call reader-generated or community-generated news here. Nice picture of the, really, I think, just about the whole crew that went to a meeting in Chapel Hill of our League of Women Voters and of the league being recognized among 18 local leagues. 10 with more than 50 members, Henderson County was chosen for its many accomplishments, including community education and advocacy programming, voter registration, candidate forums, and increase in membership. Currently 117. That sounds like a pretty large number.
Yeah.
And something called the Open World Program. Nan Jennings and Rachel Poller are the co-presidents of the league, and they accepted this award. And shown are in this picture are Linda Miller, Brenda Scher, Lee Luby, Debbie Miller, Ernie Mowell, Sandra Mowell, Karen Kessler, Don Miller, and Judy Katz. They're the ones at the convention in Chapel Hill. So congratulations to our local league. They do lots of good things. A lot of these a lot of these candidate forums that were mentioned here, those wouldn't happen if the league didn't organize them.
Yeah, fantastic. Very well-deserved award. Let's talk food for a moment. Food and entertainment before we end this week's Lightning Thursday. Mary's Burrito, finally in their new digs now?
Finally moved, yeah. Just opened last Tuesday, Tuesday a week ago. And there's news, besides the fact that they moved, you remember they were on Asheville Highway, closer to town, and now they've moved to that little shopping center called Town Center, which is just north of the Hunter Subaru dealership there, and much bigger, really a nice space, a brand new space, or brand new renovated space there. And we got an interview with Mary Romero. She is the matriarch of Mary's Burritos. You know, there was a second Mary's Burrito that's actually done very well in Martin that opened after, but the first Mary's Burrito was here in Hendersonville, and the second one has opened. But Hendersonville was their first location. That's a family from El Salvador, and it's really fresh Mexican. As we say, the place has kind of a hot dog world vibe. It's family run. The food is made fresh right in front of you, and the boss is always there. And one more thing about the new move, they don't have it yet, but they have a beer and wine license pending, so soon you'll be able to get, as with everything, it seems like these days, some draft beer, some beer on tap with your taco or your burrito or your quesadilla.
It's fantastic fresh food. I'm glad to see they're back open again. Yeah. And you've answered a question of mine. I wondered how in the world they were able to survive keeping that the original location closed while they were redoing this.
I sort of had the same question, because we reported this back either late last year or early this year, and we thought it would be fairly soon, you know, when they had that sign up that, we're moving, and I tried to find out at that time. I didn't find out immediately where they were moving to, and then we did find out where they were moving to, and we drove by there from time to time, and it seemed, I know originally I talked to a contractor out there, and it was maybe mid to late February, and they said, well, they're hoping to be open by middle of March, and here it is.
End of May.
End of May, but they've gotten open. It really is a nice space. It has so much light to it, way more than the old place did, and it's really a nice family, and they do a good job there. So, I'm sure they were all working over in the Arden shop while this renovation was underway.
Well, I think you just made me help me make my lunch plans today. Let's stay on some food. Apparently, 7th Avenue is getting a little sweeter.
7th Avenue is. Historic 7th Avenue, which has gained, Mark, two microbreweries, two pizzerias, and a brandy bar over the past 2 years, is about to offer, guess what? Dessert.
Desserts. There you go.
So Terry Young is a 1986 graduate of Hendersonville High School and a U.S. Army veteran of Desert Storm. He plans to open Sweet Things, Cheesecake, and Bakes on May 25. He's talking about maybe having some kind of grand opening event on the 4th of July. And besides cheesecakes and other bakes, Hershey's ice cream, frozen yogurt, brownies, cookies, cupcakes, all things really sweet. So that will be something to watch. Got the sign up, and we were there on Sunday where they had that open street event on 7th Avenue.
You were there. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
They closed the street for the open street.
Right.
And they opened the street to pedestrians, bicycles, baby strollers, skaters, whatever. There was a really nice, fun event there.
How was the turnout for that?
It was middling to, fun, passionate.
Yeah, sure.
Not a huge event. But there were some real fun things about it. The Southern Lights Square Dance Group had some played some music and had some square dance lessons with some little kids. I got a good picture of that. That was a fun thing. But you got a sense of what they would like to have to make the, as they said, make the street a park for a day.
Yeah.
And the idea maybe we can do this once a month and have some food tents like they did have there.
And park elsewhere.
A farmer's
ride
market.
Your bike or
yeah.
walk. Yep.
Yeah. Get out of a car and walk around.
Fantastic. That sounds great. Let's move on to entertainment as we start to end our Lightning Thursday for today. You've got a review here for Proposals running right now through June 1st at Flat Rock Playhouse.
Proposals, a fun kind of dramatic comedy.
Yeah, Neil Simon.
Set in a Neil Simon show set in the Poconos. And we have Olivia Stoller talking about Hendersonville High School. She is herself Hendersonville High School grad. She's our play reviewer, our Flat Rock Playhouse reviewer now. So check out her review of Proposals in this week's Lightning.
Yep, and get your tickets. See Proposals. Get your tickets by calling 693-0731 or, of course, online at flatrockplayhouse.org. Running through June the 1st at the Lehman Main Stage at Flat Rock Playhouse.
There you go.
Bill, we've just touched on it, as we do every Thursday. You've got still so much more news also in our Hendersonville Lightning, which, again, is on the streets and in your mailboxes. How can people get their copy of this week's Lightning?
They can get a copy by visiting any of our 60 Lightning Orange racks all around Henderson County or our dealer partners, such as convenience stores, coffee shops, and the Publix supermarket, or by going to HendersonvilleLightning.com and clicking on that red tab that says subscribe, or by calling Jan at 698-0407, or best of all, by coming to see us at 1111 Asheville Highway.